So nice to see so many of you here that I didn't see this morning. It's great to have you guys here. For those of you who've been here this morning, sorry for a little bit of a repeat, but I just want to make sure that all of us start off on the same page. So, and there's a lot of us that weren't here this morning, so that's great too. I just want you to turn to somebody next to you and just speak. If it's your wife, it's fine. If it's your husband, it's okay. You can do that. Then just speak to that person and just say, what is your expectation of this year? Go. So the Lord has been good to us. We had a great holiday. I went to the ocean a couple of times, to the beach. We really had a great time of rest. And my family and I, we had some time for one another. And that was great. But at the beginning of this year, I told my wife that this was actually one of the first time. Usually at the beginning of the year, I'm really psyched up, for everything that God has for the new year. But this was kind of like, I don't know if I'm getting old. That's maybe two. But this year was a little bit difficult for me to get to that place. And I'm like, this. And it was kind of like a thing that I saw a lot of people being very tired, especially from last year. And I was at a little birthday party yesterday, and it's one of those sobering moments. That's why I'm saying maybe I'm just getting old, because I'm looking at all these guys. They're sitting around there, and it's great. It's one of those worldly parties, so it was cool. They've got a sock with a dominie in that. They just go for it, and that's great. And as they were speaking, then you kind of size people up, and you'll see, Brad, he's got a little bit of gray hair. I think he's a bit older than me, and you probably look at me and say, he's got less hair than most of you, so anyway. And I size them all up, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then I talk to this one guy, and then I find out that he's 3 years younger than me. And I thought he was older than I. And I went back home, and I said, my baby, we are getting older. We're maturing. Oh, hallelujah. We are maturing quite fast. So that's great. And it's weird because I speak to my dad. My dad's turning 67 this year. And he interrupted himself the other day while we were speaking on the phone. He says, this old guy walks into the room or into the shop. And then he breaks himself and he says, he's probably as old as I am. So I think all of us, you think of yourself younger than you are. But anyway, so with that in mind, we've been praying and it was great. Thank you for all the words of intercession. Thank you for praying with us. It's really amazing to see just how God is speaking to us and how he's speaking to all of us. So I'm going to share a little bit just about the things that God has revealed to us through intercession and what is also laid in my heart just for the year in this time. But I want to encourage you, if you can get to any of our intercessions, either on our 8:30 on a Sunday morning or just before church here on the evenings, or on a Friday morning, 5:30 for those of you who want to get up early. And then we've got another session every second Thursday here at church at 9 o'clock. So please come to intercession, because that is where God really speaks just to us, and you will see that you do hear the voice of the Lord. Which is amazing. Okay, so what helps me is in that place, you know, of God speaking to us, it's kind of like a map. You know, God gives you a map and you're going somewhere. But what it helps for me in intercession especially is it doesn't help that you've got a map and you don't know where you are on that map. You know, if you go into the malls and they give you this map, if there's not that little blinking thing that says, you are here, you are lost. Okay, so you need to know where you are. And that is what God is just speaking to us about. You know, what's, you know, the plan is there. You know, God has got his plan that he wants us to accomplish and do, which is to become like Christ, ultimately, all of us. And to be with him, you know, to stop doing so much and start to be with him. But then when I put together a lot of the things, one of the pictures that we got, now I'm going to put it up here for you, is sometimes we look at cars and things, and you've got your racing cars, you've got Formula One cars, and they drive on a certain track, and you get some places fast, really fast, because of the speed by which those cars can drive. But those cars, they can't even do off-road, like gravel roads. They can't. Anyway, so the picture that God has given us through intercession is that this year is going to be a 4x4 year. So, and in Afrikaans, it was actually quite cool, you know, 4x4 through 20 CNT. It's like 20 blessing teen. So we want 2019 to be a blessing, and it's going to be, we just have to just refocus and listen to what God is saying, you know, through the church, to the church. And for now, it's you know, this picture, this guy with the beard that I found there on the internet. But anyway, so when you plan for your year and, you know, God is speaking things like this to you, then you need to take note. And the things that we need to take note of is when you get into, you know, I'm not a big 4x4 guy. I've done it twice, and I'm going to tell you a couple of stories just now about my 4x4 adventures. But the one thing that you do when you do 4x4 is you go a lot slower. It's not fast. It's tedious sometimes. You know, you have to get out. You have to look where you're going to go. You have to go slowly. And I'm not going to, this morning I think I took it too far. So I won't do that this evening. So I've got a 4x4 bucket, and you know, you've got that little lever that you shift. And the one has got the H, and then there's a L when you go 4x4. And my two times that I did 4x4, I used both of them. And I saw the benefits of that. Okay, so the first one was when we went to Sutherland, and in Sutherland we were caught up in that heavy snowstorm, so we stayed longer in Sutherland, and that was amazing. But we had to get back because Danelle had to work. But we had to take the long road around, and it was kind of dangerous because they said, listen, don't go through the passes, so we didn't do that. But there's still some passes that you have to pass to get out of Sutherland, all right? Sutherland's like in a big hole. So we go onto this gravel road, but it's, you know, this thick layer of ice that you drive on. And then, you know, I had Graham, he was with me, he's a more 4x4 type. He said, listen, you put it in the 4H and you keep it there. And I'm like, okay, fine. So we did 4x4 with the H, then you can drive faster. If it says L, you can't drive that fast. So the H1 is you drive faster. So now we're driving about 60, 70 kilometers an hour. But you're slipping and sliding all the way. It's like this way and that way. But because you're in 4x4, you pull out of those slipping and sliding quite quickly. And then, you know, when we were through the pass and the things, and now it's just flat road, I said to Danelle, yeah, no, we're fine. You know, I'm gonna take it out of 4x4 and put it back into the two-wheel drive. Big mistake. I didn't even drive like 100 meters, and then I was like, woo, and I couldn't get it out. Let's go back to H. H helps a lot. So when you think about this year, God is saying, listen, guys, I want you to slow down. And the words that came this morning and again tonight, this is going to be the year of slowing down you, yourself. And we know it. We know that we're busy. We know that we are always running around. But this year, we need to take it a lot slower just to get through to the other side. Now, that was the H1. The L one was that when I was in Namibia, we went up the steep hill and we did the low range 4x4, and it was great to get to the top. And I thought to myself, I'm okay, man. This isn't that bad. Until we did the summit and we had to go down. And I was like, you know, it's one of those things. I did bungee jumping. When you've jumped, then it's like, what have I done? But there's nothing you can do about it because you've already jumped. Got on top, we've already jumped. We're up there. We can't reverse back. We have to go down the steep slope. So, and it's a lot of loose stones. You know, it's these big boulders that are lying all around. So anyway, so now you drive 2 meters. You stop. You look. You climb out. You say, okay, I need to go this way. Then you climb back into your car. Then you drive again and you go, and that is how you do low range 4x4. Because you need to be certain of every step that you're actually taking as you are driving. And the one thing that happened, we were there also with friends of ours, and I was driving in front this time and he was driving in the back. And then I would drive, and as I was driving, then I'd see this big boulder, I'd get out of the car, and then with all of my might, I would move the boulder out of the way because I am a pastor. And that's what pastors do. They move the rocks for the people. Anyway, so I move them out of the way, and then we drive down there, and I feel, you know, all good about myself because I've moved these rocks for this people that comes behind me. And when we got out, started to speak, he says to me, you know what? You put this big boulder in front of me. I said, no! I took it away. As you are driving through these loose rocks and boulders and stuff, your car loosens them. And they roll back into the road. Big ones. So I'm feeling, you know, that God is saying, listen, as we are going slower in this year, you know, looking to Him as the author and the finisher of our faith. Obviously, it's not about the people. Then we need to have grace with one another. A lot of grace. Because what you think you are doing, which is a blessing, might legitimately to somebody else not be a blessing because of the terrain that we are entering. One amen would be great. Okay, so be in that mode of knowing, listen, you know, and Satan wants to have a field day with us. And I've seen it from last year's end, and I know we were tired and stuff, but especially in this place. That is where he wants to come, and all he wants to do is he wants to use great motives and then turn it around and have people fight with one another. And that's what he wants to do. But he's not going to get that right. All right. So, I've written a letter that's on our news group. So those of you who's not on this the WhatsApp news group, find somebody that is, or come to me. I am on the news group, okay? Then I'll put you on there so that I can just, the letters and the things that I write, I post there, so then you are in the loop. I don't necessarily put all of them on Facebook. A little bit more dangerous, maybe, sometimes, so I don't do that. All right, so the second thing that I want to speak to you about before we get to Scripture, this evening I am going to go to Scripture, is this is the second picture that came, Aubrey added on Thursday morning while we were praying, and it was just tying up so nicely with what God is saying, is as he had this dream or a vision with him and his dad sitting on a tractor, and they are plowing the field. Again, plowing is tedious work. It's slow. So they're plowing this field, and then it's a fancy one. It's got one of those GPS tractors. I don't know if you've seen some of those, but anyway, it's a great tractor. It's got a GPS in it. And now he's on this GPS, and he's looking back at the plowing, and as they're plowing, he wants to put in, and then his dad stops him, and his dad says, hey, you never put in coordinates for a GPS while you're looking backwards. You look forward. And that is what the Lord is saying to us. Listen, there's stuff in our lives, there's things that happens, there are a lot of those things. We need to sort those out. We need to leave them behind. Great things, blessings, you know, not so great things. We need to do like Paul says, I loose myself from what is at behind me, and I stretch myself forward to that which is coming. And that which is coming is going to come a lot slower this year, okay? You're not going to get there instantly. But you need to loosen yourself from that which lies behind and set yourself forward for the GPS. You look forward to do that. All right, so let's read some scripture together. And hopefully I can just inspire you guys. And there's just another scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart the whole week at the end of it. So first one, I want us to read in Matthew 13. If you've got your Bibles here, you can open it. Or you can read there. Sorry, I see there's something wrong with the resolutions. On my computer, it's fine, but here it's not. So, anyway, I'll read for you here. Matthew 13, it's the parable of the sower. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now I know that we know the scripture by heart, all of us, and we've heard of it. And whenever you read a scripture like this, it's easy to judge people and put them in boxes and say, hey, yeah, you see, you are the rocky part, and you are the thorny ones. And anyway, put all the people in their little boxes. But that's not the point of this parable that Jesus, it's about our hearts. It's about the preparation and the receiving of the Word of God into our hearts. And all of us have got, in some way or form, we are good soil. You know, but then in some times, you know, in some places that God wants to speak to us, we are hard soil, man. And you know that. Because God has to come and clap you over the head before you hear sometimes in one certain area. Doesn't make you lost and you're going to hell and stuff, no. It's just that your heart is not prepared to receive the word so that it can bring forth fruit. And this is part of what God is just saying, listen. And we started to speak a little bit about it last year. We're going to continue in it this year, because what I do feel we need to start to sort out is, you know, and it was so great when Nicole brought, you know, she spoke about the soul, not your spirit. You know, bring your souls to God. Now, our souls is our mind, will, and emotions. You know, it's that place of us that gets revved up sometimes, man. Mine maybe more than others. And it's that place where God is saying, listen, I want you guys to take some time and to sort that out. Because we are sometimes very mature in spiritual things. We know the scriptures. We know the stuff that happens there. We know all of it. But the working out of it, Debs, you can move if you want to, man. I see it's shining in your face. But the working out of that scriptural truth, that takes time, you know, and for that, you need to grow. You need to grow in certain areas so that God can change us, and that we can become in that soul part of us also mature. And I think that is one of the things that God is starting to work into our hearts. Then Jesus goes on and he explains, obviously, he explains the parable from verse 18. Verse 18, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone's heart and when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and he snatches it away and what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately falls away. And as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and indeed it bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30-fold. So, part of what Alicia just said in this place of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, it chokes the word of God and sometimes the life of God out of us in a big way. And those are, with the other ones, those are the things that we're going to have to delve into with God. And how are we going to do that? Another scripture that we had in intercession this last while, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know it well. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. But that was the focus of the person that said, it's just that scripture, but mostly we need to humble ourselves. Humble yourself before the Lord. Doesn't matter how spiritual and how mature we are, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord so that He can work in us what is necessary to work, or work through us the things that He wants to do. Sometimes we don't want to humble ourselves in that place, and then God cannot use us as He wants to. So sometimes people pray stupid prayers. I don't like stupid prayers. Sometimes I do. They say, God, humble me. God is great at humbling people. He is like the master of it. And it never turns out nice for the person that is being humbled. So be wise and humble yourself before the Lord. And especially, again, back to that soul part. You know, when some of those things, it's tearing you apart, then into that place, follow the Lord. Speak to Him. God, why is this? Why is this thing bugging me so much? Enter into that place. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't know. And God will do what only God can do. Then, to shift a little bit of focus. So that's what this year might hold in for us. I may be wrong too, but I mean, then I'll humble myself before you. But this is what I hear that the Lord is saying through a lot of His people as we are praying. But then this is the one that the Lord has just really stirred my heart with, and I'm gonna play you guys a song just now, and then you can worship it with me. It's a song with words on it. But I also feel with this year of 4x4, which is going to be slower, which is going to be a little bit tougher, there's also going to be this dispensation of grace to see things that looks dead come alive, and especially people. Because of the roughness of these last couple of years, because of the roughness of life, you know what? People are so open. We are just so stupid sometimes of not taking that gap and speaking to them. And God is opening wide, very wide, the doors to people's hearts. People who are caught in darkness, you know, shut up in such a way that they cannot see the light. And God is opening their hearts and saying, hey, Deval, I want you to speak. And I had an opportunity yesterday, which I didn't take, there with all of my worldly friends. Maybe because of, you know, them knowing that I'm a dominie and, you know, you don't want to do those things. Well, they call me a dominie, so I let them. I'm not that. But they were speaking about, you know, all these things that they see, because most of them are farmers. And while they were speaking, I was so just moved in my heart. You know, they speak about the things that they see and the people that they speak to. This guy that is there, he has had so much rain that he's never seen before. And then another guy says, yeah, but this guy, he's had a drought and heat that is never seen before. And it's all of these phenomenon that they are speaking about of what's happening in the world, and they can see it. And I'm thinking to myself now, and I told Danielle afterwards, I said, what I should have done is, hey guys, you know what? Scripture says, Jesus says, that he speaks to people like us and he says, you know what? You've got the wisdom to look at the natural elements and you see there's clouds today, so tomorrow you say it's going to be a hot day. Or it's looked like this and tomorrow it's going to be raining, whatever. But you don't have the wisdom to discern that the time, spiritually, in which we are in. And I'm thinking, Deval, you should take those gaps. God is opening the door widely. But what are they going to think? So what? At least they're going to think about it that evening while they're lying on their beds, knowing that, hey, Bible says this stuff is going to happen towards the end. Where am I in that end? Anyway, so back to the things that I feel that are dead, that God really wants us, you know, to resurrect through his power and through his spirit and his word. John 11, the story of Lazarus. I was thinking about Lazarus a lot this while. Last while. John 11, verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind, man, also have kept this man from dying? I'm going to stop there for now. What is great for me about this story of Jesus and Lazarus is, did Jesus not know that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? He knew that. He knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. He knew that he was going to do a massive miracle. But still, and again, and this is just the heart of God that is amazing. He looks at the people. He looks at their pain. He looks at the things, and Jesus is moved with compassion in such a way that he weeps for them, even though that he knows just now they are going to be overjoyed with what they see. Jesus has got compassion with us in such a way that he shows us here with Lazarus. Then verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it, and Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Now, this is just one of those cool little things that we don't always know, but, you know, in tradition, Jewish tradition, the kind of thing that the soul of the person floats around for 3 days, and then they're still there, or whatever. So on the fourth day, they knew that it was gone. And she says there, listen, he's already stinking. This guy is stinking. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So I want to pause there. Whatever your challenge is, whatever the people are that are dead in your influence sphere, whatever those things are, the same as with this issue with Lazarus. Jesus is saying, and he's speaking to you, and he says, Deval, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see my glory? The only way that you can miss God's glory is if you give up your faith and trusting God for what he is going to do in other people's lives. Never give up. Trust God. Because in this year, God will open doors, and we should take them and speak. And then verse 41, he says, and so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Now I'm thinking, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall, not looking at Lazarus coming out, but looking at the faces of the people seeing him coming out of that tomb. It would have been awesome. Jesus speaks, and here comes this mummified man with all of his wrappings walking out of a tomb, coming to the light of Christ because Christ called him. Christ said, come. You know what? In this year, God is going to say, come out of that tomb to a lot of people. A lot of people that are in your influence sphere. A lot of people that are in the place where you have got the light of Christ inside of you, and you are going to be the one that brings those words. Come out of your tomb. And we need to start to take it. But you know what excites me most about this is a little bit later in John, just the next chapter. We read the following, verse 9. It says there, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. And I'm like, hallelujah. There are some Lazarus going to come out in this year that is going to be so powerful that people are going to look at it and they say, there's a God that lives because I know you. You were dead, man. And here you are. Look at you. Look at your life. There must be a God that lives because you cannot change on yourself, on your own, like this. And that's what excites me. On the other side, it's a warning for us that has been called out of the grave. You know what? You are a walking target always. We know that. Because when God has done something, called you out of that place of darkness into his marvelous light, then you are a witness. People see it. Satan hates it. And he wants to kill you. And he will use all his sly ways possible to get us back to that place of bondage. Get us back to that place of actually not following him anymore in such a fervent way like we did because of a lot of stuff. So anyway, I want us to stand together. I've got a song here that just ministers into this place and really ministered to my heart. And I hope that it's going to minister into your heart too. JP, if you can just get that song there, and then you guys can stand with me. Then we're going to worship, and I'm going to end off after that.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn. Till I made, I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my dream, yeah. Till I made. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness. Now your freedom is all that I need.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. That song psyched me up anyway. For now. Just want to end with this verse. And then as the band comes up, I want to pray for some people if you have needs. Especially of what was said and what the Lord has done this evening. Ending with John 16 with verse 33. It says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And as we go into this year, remember this. Yes, it's going to be 4x4. Yes, it's going to be tough. Jesus has promised that already a long time ago. But take heart. Christ has overcome the world. Jesus is our peace. And we need to remain in that place, in Him, especially in this year.